Welcome to the spread, Nesson.com's football picks podcast. I'm Nesson.com's Mike Cole, joined once again by Andre Khachaturian and Ricky Doyle. Gentlemen, how are we?
Doing pretty well, Mike. How are you doing?
Not bad.
Doing well. Excited for the new year. Playoffs. First, we got to get rid of week 17.
Sure. Yeah, we're into week 17. This week's kind of a pain to pick. We'll change up our format a little bit this week. We're just going to do the three biggest, best, whatever, games, which is a very arbitrary term this week because who knows what will come of these games. Who knows what will come of the other games. We'll skip blocks and upsets this week for that reason, just because, I mean, I don't know. You want to make the Kansas City Chiefs your upset loss. I mean, they might not even be favored by game. Who knows? Like, there's just so much that can change. In the interest of fairness, we're doing this on Tuesday morning, so things could change throughout the week. Very fluid situation across the league. But we'll do our best and we'll make it quick and we'll be ready for the playoffs. So, Andre, how did we do last week?
Last week, you and I both went 7-8-1. Ricky, you were 10-5-1. Ricky, you have a 5-game lead now on all of us and you're basically 500 on the season, 116-116-7. None of us were nowhere near being 500. And Ricky, you've broken that threshold, I guess, going into week 17. So congratulations.
Thanks. It's a whole bar to clear, but
what a tough. I don't understand this. I feel like I do better on the earlier games. That's just complete coin flip.
I did very well on the Christmas.
Well, and Christmas, I was feeling good Saturday going into the weekend, and then it's just a gong show. So I don't know.
I mentioned this to you before we came on, Mike. Like week 17. Is it the most difficult week in terms of picking games, handicapping, and whatnot? Like, because week one obviously is challenging, but like that's a different set of problems. Like, you're trying to figure out what team's going to look different. I'd say week two is like that's up there as well because you're trying to figure out what not to overreact to. But like week 17, like this is kind of my self-imposed bye week. Like, I'd prefer to just sort of stay on the sidelines for the most.
Yeah, I was going to say, the only thing that keeps me from saying week 17 is the most difficult one is just because it's mostly a stay away. Like,
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the reason you don't have your fantasy championship in week 17. Yeah,
it's kind of like a preseason week.
Yeah.
A lot of backups coming in the second half. And
there has to be.
Like, your home underdogs this week.
You should be able to find value somewhere. I just don't know where. Like, I don't even know how to go about looking at it because, again, we kind of talked about this before it came on, too. There's plenty of games, like, if you look at the Buffalo-Miami game where it's, like, you can sit there and try to handicap that all you want, but if Miami's up by 10 at halftime, like, Buffalo might just say, screw it. Like, just let's turn this into a mini bye week, especially this week or this year, too, because you only get one team in each conference getting a bye. So, like, Pittsburgh, I mean, they've kind of played it close to the vest this week, but, like, at least so far, Tomlin talks at noon on Tuesday. They have no, like, why would they play anybody? Like, you might as well just use week 17 as a bye for a team that would have had, you know, if you're a top seed. So
I guess having that home field advantage in that 2-3 game, I guess, but I guess without any crowds is home field.
Right. That's
not that much. So that's another thing to consider. So,
I don't want to dissuade anybody from listening to the rest of this podcast, which we kind of just did there, but it just seems week 17 feels like a good week to just sit back and enjoy the games.
With that being said, let's start with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, just talked about how this game is a bit of a toss up or whatever you want to say, but you got Pittsburgh coming off of their win last week. Impressive win. I don't feel bad about how I handicapped that. Not that I'm bitter. But a really impressive comeback win against Indy. They have to go on the road to take on a Cleveland team. The Browns, had everything in front of them, and they, you know, I know that they had a bunch of COVID issues, but they end up losing to the Jets. They've got a win to get in. They clinch a playoff berth with a win. And like I said, Pittsburgh, not a whole lot to play for technically, if anything. Steelers 12-3, Cleveland 10-5. Cleveland laying 7 at home against the Steelers. Total 42.5. Not expecting a ton of points here. Ricky, are you going to lay the points at home with Cleveland?
So it would be a very Browns-like thing for them to come out and just sort of poop down their legs as they did this previous week. But, you know, they are obviously the team with something to play for here. And, I mean, I'm not sure there's a huge gap between these teams, even in a vacuum. So I'm going to lay the points. I just think it's, you know, it's not like you're laying 7 points with one of the NFC East hopefuls, more on that later, I'm sure. Or a team that's 5-10 with some offensive inefficiencies or whatever. I mean, the Browns are still a decent team, you know, probably, I don't know what the look ahead line was, but I mean, this team probably would have been favored anyways. It's, you know, plenty of offensive firepower to cover the number. They're getting back their wide receiver core after that COVID issue. So maybe there's a little extra motivation there, maybe some inherent built-in value. The fact that they're coming off that loss to the Jets, maybe even a little more gassed up facing a divisional opponent who sort of had their number over the years. And then I think on the field as well, I mean, the Browns, they do have that running game and, you know, number one pass blocking team according to Pro Football Focus. So I think game script and Cleveland's strengths might be able to take away Pittsburgh's biggest strength being that pass rush. So I just think the motivational factor plus a little bit of the matchup leads me to just to take the team that's get more to play for you. And also, I mean, going back to last week, I didn't come away from that Steelers win feeling any better about that offense. So I think that could continue to be an issue for Pittsburgh as well.
Going into this season, I was very low on Baker Mayfield. He has 35 interceptions in 2 seasons coming into this year. I'm just going to say, you know, last 8 games, the guy has only 1 interception. So I just want to congratulate him for proving me wrong. But again, at the same time, it's like, did he prove me wrong? Going into week 16, they were playing the Jets. Browns didn't have any of their receivers. A great quarterback should be able to elevate average receivers. I mean, he still had like some decent tight ends and at least beat the Jets, right? He wasn't able to do that. So I still have a lot of questions about Baker Mayfield, especially in a big situation like this, trying to make the playoffs against the Steelers. I think Pittsburgh wins this game. I still think the number 2 seed is important for them. They want to head into the playoffs on a good note. They've kind of struggled in the last few weeks. They want, if they were still like 14-1 going into this game, yeah, maybe they would lay an egg for this one. They wouldn't care, but they've struggled. They want to go into the playoffs on a high note. So I think they're going to take this game seriously, try to get that number 2 seed. And I think they have that advantage in the trenches. They lead the league in sacks. They've allowed the fewest sacks. The Browns, they're 1-3 this season when getting 101 rushing yards or less. And the Steelers, they have a pretty good defense, pretty decent rush defense. I think they kind of contain the Browns rushing attack and kind of make Mayfield make some mistakes. The guy has 1 pick in the last 8 games. I think he's due for a couple of them this week.
See, this is week 17 in a nutshell, where we're 1 game into this and we're already trying to figure out the team's psychology.
Yeah, you're handicapping things that just you shouldn't be handicapping.
Right. That's why I didn't throw that many stats. I looked at the psychology of it.
Speaking of stats, what the hell were the Browns doing last week with game script? Like, didn't Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt combine for like 10 carries? Like, I rushed to put Kareem Hunt in my DraftKings lineup last week because I was like, they're going to split him out. They're going to throw him the ball a ton. They're going to use him basically as a receiver. And instead, they just like, it's the hot Austin Hooper and whatever the hell the other guy's name is. What?
To be fair, though, Chubb had 28 yards and 11 carries.
No, I know, but like, they cannot throw it.
I don't think Mayfield looked at a wide receiver until about midway through the second quarter.
Wild. Like, I know.
Austin Hooper.
They were very undermanned, and like, I know it's probably fool's errand to like sit there and try to criticize it, because I'm sure more went into it than that, but it just, I don't know, especially without Quinn and Williams, like, I feel like they could have tried a little bit more to establish that run, just because maybe it's they outsmarted themselves, like everybody thought they were going to run the ball, so they tried passing. I don't know, just weird. Anyway, I'll take the Browns here. I think this turns into a smoke show, like, and again, so here we are, like, Andre thinks they went out right. Ricky, you feel like you're kind of in the middle. I think the Browns just take out years of frustration on Pittsburgh and on like a Pittsburgh team that is just kind of like, yeah, whatever, guys. Like, I think this is one where Cleveland gets ahead early, because Cleveland, clearly, I understand that Pittsburgh has something to play for. Cleveland has so much more to play for. So I think they're going to be ready to go. Pittsburgh is going to be looking ahead to that playoff game the week after. So if Cleveland gets up early, I think Pittsburgh kind of just looks at it and says, whatever, guys. And if they aren't even there to begin with, like, I think it's still on the table that they rest everybody. Like, Ben Roethlisberger, like, gets out of bed with a limp. Like, it's just chronic injuries across his entire body. It feels like, why would you play him any more than you have to this week, if at all? It just doesn't make any sense for, like, I mean,
especially with the lack of a bye week for them, with the way they're scheduled. Right, yeah. Like, there's That's more the incentive than ever for them to rest their guys.
Yeah. They have no business playing anybody. Like, if you're as good as you think you are, and you're, you know, Mike Tomlin likes to, you know, the bravado and all that stuff, you're not afraid to go on the road and, you know, the divisional round or whatever. Like, it's more, you have a better chance of, if everybody's healthy, going on a long run than you do trying to play the matchups ahead of time. So I think that I'm just banking on them not really giving a damn here. And if that's the case, I think Cleveland blows them out.
I mean, the narrative, though, Colts play the Jaguars, they can win. Ravens play the Bengals, they can win. Dolphins play a Bills team that might be resting their players, they can win. The Browns winning 10 games and missing out on the playoffs is just a very Cleveland Browns thing to happen.
Right? That is true. Yeah. But then what if they win 11 games?
Well, if they win 11 games, you're going to make it. If they win, they're in.
I would be surprised if Pittsburgh wins this game, even with, like, all the Browns juju and all that stuff. Like, it's just, no pun intended. Yeah. I don't know. Like, not even the Cleveland Browns can screw this up, right? Like,
it's last words.
I know.
We'll leave it on that note.
I do think, Andre, to your point, like, we're clearly seeing across the league this year how much coaching matters, where you look at, like, you know, Stefanski has done wonders for Baker in that offense. Like, you know, no kidding there, he's a little bit better without Freddie Kitchens calling the shots on offense. Like, we're seeing the maturation of Josh Allen, which is right in line with, like, Brian Daboll finding his groove. Even in Green Bay, you've got, you know, Rodgers and LaFleur in year two. Like, coaching really matters. So that's something to keep in mind.
That was like my biggest takeaway of some of what came out of that Monday night game too. Not to go off on a tangent here, but, like, maybe, like, I think sometimes we downplay, or it just gets overlooked, the impact of the system that the quarterback is going into. Like, it's just as important than the actual talent in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
That's why, like, I'm so, like, interested to see what's going to happen with this whole Trevor Lawrence thing. And, like, him going to Jacksonville is, first of all, it's kind of boring considering the
alternative it sucks.
A couple of weeks ago. But I mean, who knows? You know,
well, like, into that point, Ricky, like, what happens with Sam Darnold? Like, I don't know. Like, maybe it's better for them to build around Sam Darnold moving forward instead of taking a chance on, like, Justin Fields. Because, like, what if Justin Fields, if you draft Justin Fields and he comes in and, like, is in the same system that Darnold was in, then he might suck too. Like, it's,
is there really that?
What if you get
right?
Darnold. You know, Adam Gase is gone and Brian Daboll goes in there.
Right.
All of a sudden, Sam Darnold becomes Josh Allen next year.
Yeah, exactly.
That's on the table.
Yeah. But, which is, you know, it's interesting. There's a lot of that. That stuff needs to be settled. It's very, very intriguing. But we can get into that a little bit more at a later time. We're moving on to, what is this, the NFC North here? Yeah, let's do the NFC North. We've got the Green Bay Packers coming off of their just – absolute throttling of the Titans on Sunday night. Aaron Rodgers looked pretty good in the snow, huh, Andre?
Yeah, that's another thing I was wrong about was last week. You were very right. Go ahead.
Andre, I will give you credit, though. Your Doppler was spot on. You called for a lot of snow, and that was more than I was.
It was more snow than we
said. It was going to be cloudy, Mike.
No, I said that the – well, first of all, I was going off of a Tuesday forecast. I mean, we're doing this on Tuesday.
So was I.
And it said snow showers, and you turned snow showers into a blizzard. And it ended up being in between snow showers and a blizzard. It was snow.
That's the Cacciatore and Farmer's Almanac coming back into play in week 16.
nailed that one. I mean, you got killed on the side, but you nailed the weather.
The weather and not the game.
But the Packers go to Chicago. The Bears win and they're in. They could also get in with a loss, I think, with some help. But, you know, winning is their best route to the playoffs. They're 8-7, Green Bay 12-3. The Packers do have something to play for. They, you know, a win gets them the one seed. The one seed, I would argue, is even more important this year than it's ever been because of only one team getting that bye. Plus, you know, we just saw Sunday night, like playing in Lambeau in the winter can be difficult, especially if we're not going to do bubbles, and it doesn't sound like we're going to do bubbles. So the Packers going to Chicago here for a game that does matter to both teams. Packers laying 5.5 at Soldier Field. Andre, who do you like here?
Yeah, like you mentioned, Mike, Packers are playing for something, sort of the Bears. The difference is the Bears, they just haven't beat anyone of note at all this season, except for that Thursday night Tampa Bay game. But this is a situation where I think the Bears, will, like the Browns, aren't going to live up to the moment. Chicago has been beating up on some bad teams over the last 3 weeks. Green Bay's weakness is their rush defense, but it doesn't even matter against Tennessee, Derrick Henry, and it shouldn't be an issue against Chicago either. Green Bay is just a more complete team, 15 yards per play differential. Chicago's 21st. And Trubisky, 7 touchdowns, 2 picks in the last 4 games, but crappy opponents, like I mentioned, the Lions, Texans, Vikings, and Jaguars in those 4 games. It's going to be much tougher against the Packers, who are Packers are also 2nd and 3rd down conversions. Bears are dead last. Random stat, but I think that'll be important in this one.
Yeah, those teams that you mentioned that they scored the 30 plus points against, you talk about 3 of the worst defenses in terms of DVOA,
right,
plus Minnesota, who is 13th, and clearly have some of their own defensive flaws as well.
To interject real quick, Ricky, by EPA per play, which is something I look at a lot every week, 32nd for Detroit, 30th for Houston, 26th for Minnesota, and 31st for Jacksonville. So 3 of the worst defenses in the NFL. The 3 worst defenses in the NFL. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, so I mean that gives me pause. I'm gonna take the points just by virtue of it being so, maybe playing that psychology game a little bit where there is so much at stake here that I think that they keep it close. I mean, you're playing a road game, you're catching 5.5 points, so it's a decent chunk. I do think that the Packers have a tendency to play down to their opponent a little bit. We've seen it this season on several occasions with, you know, when the spread gets up over a field goal, I feel a little leery about taking them. In the long run, I think I might even look at the Green Bay Super Bowl futures now, because I do think that they have the potential to get there. I think at the end of the day, they win this game, but if I'm catching more than a field goal, I think the Bears will keep it close enough to ultimately have their hearts ripped out even more than if they had just lost the game straight up from the start.
If I'm not mistaken, Green Bay is down like 5-1 on the Super Bowl. It's only Kansas City's better. Like if you had got them, I think like even 3 weeks ago, they were like 9-1, which seems like very good value, which actually brings me into my greater point here. And I guess we can kind of, I'll facilitate a little bit here because the pick is whatever. Are the Packers the best team in the NFL?
They might be.
Well, so like I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I mean,
I think they're probably not, because I still think there's some sort of like just boredom going on with the Chiefs, but I think it's closer than a lot of people are willing to admit.
I think with the Packers is that like they have at all of their key positions, you know, if you're building a franchise, they have probably the top 1, 2, 3 players at the most important positions. When you get a good quarterback, got a left tackle, you got one of the best cornerbacks you get in the NFL, and you got maybe the best wide receiver in the NFL. So it's just like a lot of building blocks that, you know, it's the star power I'm looking for going into the playoffs. And it's hard to dispute that the quarterback, there's nobody better playing better football than their quarterback right now. So
they might. Yeah,
I'm just looking since the start of the 2011 calendar year, Packers are 18-3 against Chicago.
They own them. It's awesome. They just own them. And every year too, like the Bears think they're going to be better, and they suck.
And maybe Mike, you might know this better than I do. Maybe one of those losses was when Deshaun Kizer or something was quarterback.
Maybe I know there was a loss, like a Week 17 loss, at the end of, I think it was at the end of the McCarthy firing year. Maybe they went into. It was at Soldier Field and they lost. I know that there was like a late Aaron Rodgers pick that like ended like a streak.
December 16,
2018. Yeah. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's here and there.
Bears were good that year though. That was the first year Trubisky and the Bears were actually pretty good. So
it's a joke. It was back before like they had cap problems and stuff like that. So, but I was looking at, so since the Indy loss, so 5 weeks, Green Bay has been a top 10 defense or a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense by EPA. Their run success rate this year, they're like number 16, which is actually better than run success rate against. So defensively, they're 16th, which is better than I expected. When you eliminate the fourth quarter, like they're number 10. I was looking at this too. On average, in the last 5 weeks, oh, this is all over the last 5 weeks, they've on average, they've led 27-10 going into the fourth quarter. So, like, I think a lot of the numbers, if you're just looking at, you know, big picture numbers, are a little skewed. And maybe that kind of opens up for, like, a backdoor cover here, because if they're up by 14 going into the fourth quarter, do they call off the dogs? I don't know how. Again, this is the thing we're talking about, like the game theory stuff. How do you kind of approach it if you're the Packers? Or do you just keep, you know, you do the whole Matt LaFleur all gas, no break thing? I got the Packers in this one. I do like what LaFleur said. He said they're approaching week 17 like a playoff game. I know that's kind of coach speak or whatever, but like it's similar and it feels a lot like what the Patriots have done in the past, where they treat this week 17 game, usually against a divisional opponent, as a playoff game. Because if you win this week, you win next week by not playing, right? Like, that's it. It's this very philosophical thing. So I think they come in. What's that?
And it's an easier opponent than a playoff team would be.
Sure. So, like, you treat it this again. This is like a signature, signature Patriots type of thing. So I think they come ready to play. Andre, to your point, in both your points, I mentioned like I've been dealing or running with Chicago the last few weeks. Like, I like what the offense has done, but again, it's been against really bad, you know, defenses.
Also, just put a conspiracy theory hat on and say the NFL kind of probably wants Arizona in there instead of Chicago. Just having Kyler Murray in there, DeAndre Hopkins over whatever Chicago's going to bring to the table. Maybe the referees help Green Bay out here a little bit.
One thing. If the Packers, it would be awesome if the Packers had already locked up the one seed, because then they could just lay down and have the Bears just walk into the playoffs and force the Bears to extend Trubisky and Nagy and stick with that. And, you know, because there's a lot of momentum for those two guys now in Chicago. And that's, I don't know, I don't love either of them long term. So as a Packers fan, I hope they're around for a long time.
But that whole conversation could change if he comes out and throws four picks this
exactly.
week.
Exactly. I think that's on the table. Again, I think this is another potential blowout too. Like, maybe I'm underselling the Bears team that I've been high on for the last 5 weeks, and maybe I'm over. Yeah, it's a big game for the Packers too. Like, this is a spot where they've kind of pooped themselves every once in a while. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they come out, especially early in that game. So, anything else there, gentlemen?
Not I.
All right. This is Sunday Night Football, unfortunately. you've got to – we end the season the way we started, with the NFC East and Sunday Night primetime. I actually don't know if the NFC East was in primetime in week one, but I'll just assume it was. It actually was. It was the Cowboys at Rams. So
I think we just said last week that, like, we're finally getting away from this too.
Yeah.
Because of how bad the NFC East has been. It's like, well, now we got a little break here. We don't have to deal with them so much in prime time.
In their defense, I don't think there was another choice. Because, like, no matter what you do, if you moved any of those other games to Sunday night, I think you would have. I think the permutations. It's guaranteed
to be meaningful.
Yeah. Like, no matter what. Like, even if. No matter what happens in the Giants Cowboys game, this game will mean something. So we'll know, we'll have an idea of who's lined up to win the division and then who will once this game is over. But anyway, you got the Washington football team fresh off of their dismissal of Dewey Haskins. They head to Philly to take on the Eagles. The Eagles suck. I had the Eagles in my pool last week and I felt so good early on and they just completely shriveled. So they've got nothing to play for other than to try to spoil Washington season. I got the football team as 2-point favorites here on the road to start. Total set at 42.5. Ricky, what do you think on this one?
My natural inclination is to lean towards Washington just because I think at the end of the day, they're just a better team. And I know that we've all been relatively high on them at points throughout this season, particularly because of that defense. But I'm concerned about where they're going to get the points and where they're going to come up with the ability to push the ball downfield. Like, not knowing fully what Alex Smith's status is, like how he's going to look. I mean, Terry McLaurin's in a walking boot. This is a team that just got shut down by Carolina, who has one of the worst defenses in the NFL. So I just don't know if they're going to be able to expose that Eagles defense like the Cowboys did, to be able to expose the back end of that defense, because they just don't have the horses to do it. You know, the Eagles, as you said, nothing to play for, but it's kind of a different brand of nothing to play for. Like, their starting quarterback has a whole lot to play for. Like, their head coach has, you know, he's got a whole lot to play for. So it's not your typical team, your typical lame duck team playing out the string. I think there is a little bit of a motivational factor there for the Eagles, or at least, you know, some players on that roster. So, you know, I'm going to take the Eagles. I don't feel great about it, because I do think that that patchwork offensive line could be in some trouble against Washington's pass rush. The Eagles defense losing Fletcher Cox the past week, that whole game just changed when the second that happened. But I think ultimately maybe Jalen Hurts's ability to improvise and Miles Sanders' ability to run the ball against Washington's defense. I think if you're going to beat them, beat that defense, you do it on the ground. So I think the Eagles play spoiler here. I think it's that would be a fitting end to the 2020 season.
I agree with you, Ricky.
A weird spoiler game.
I agree with you, Ricky. I'm going to think Philadelphia as well. Washington, they've allowed the 9th most rushing yards to quarterbacks. I think Jalen Hurts, like you mentioned, ability to improvise. He's been running the ball a ton, and he's been very successful on the ground. And again, like, I don't know where Washington gets his points. I also look at Alex Smith. When he first came back from his injury, he was a little more timid. He took a while for him to really, get acclimated playing in the NFL again. Now he's coming back from another injury. I feel like it might take him a little bit to get used to it again. So I really like Philadelphia in this situation. They're at home. Like you said, they have nothing to play for, but it's a different brand of nothing to play for, especially with their quarterback, you know, trying to prove that he can be a starting quarterback in the NFL. I think the Haskins thing is also kind of a distraction for Washington as well. I don't know. I feel like, it can kind of be a distraction for them. So I'll take Philly.
Like, there's a very real chance we get it with, we have Taylor Heinicke in that game.
Yeah. And yeah.
Taylor Heinicke. I don't feel good about that.
I'm completely playing the narratives here. I'll take Washington. I think the Dwayne Haskins thing helps. I think he was to be willing to have that sort of distraction leading into week 17 makes me think that, like, it was more of a distraction to have him in the locker room, and he was just that – it just wasn't working. Like, that's a bold move to do that, even though the guy sucks. Like, it's just – it says a lot to make that move when they did. So I think they're better off in the short and the long term without him. And I'm just all in on the final game of the NFL regular season. We've got Alex Smith winning a division. And it seems like a cool story. So I'm just buying into that. I just can't get over how bad Philly's defense has been the last 5 weeks. And let me just look it up real quick. And they just, it's been as bad as any other defense in the league. It's not good.
But this is where we're at with week 17, where we're deciphering levels of, levels of having nothing to play for versus, weighing it against the optics of Alex Smith winning the NFC East.
I know.
Winning a division, the worst division in NFL history. Like, that's just kind of where we're at.
It's a terrible pick by me, because Philly's run defense actually has been very good the last 5 weeks, although the Fletcher Cox thing does hurt. And they've been terrible against the pass in terms of giving up big passing plays. So I think they find a way to push the ball downfield. I know it goes against Alex Smith's MO, but they find a way to make it happen. Philly also has been just absolutely terrible early down success, both especially offensively, but defensively well against the pass. So I don't know. It's really just me rooting for the narrative more than anything.
Ricky, we both have the Eagles winning this game. So I guess who's going to win the NFC East? Because I guess if the Eagles are
Good question.
beating Washington, then it's going to come down to the Cowboys and Giants. You want to pick that game right now?
I lean Cowboys because I don't have any faith in that Giants offense.
The Cowboys are going to win, and then they're going to win the division, despite my pick. And I lay in bed that night terrified of Mike McCarthy waddling his fat ass into Lambeau and beating the Packers in the divisional round. It scares me so much.
Imagine
we're gonna get something really.
So they'll have to beat Tampa.
Yeah, I know. So it's either gonna be Tom Brady comes in and ends Aaron Rodgers, or Mike McCarthy does. And no matter what, I'm picking against the Packers that week just because I can't have nice things when it comes to football.
We're destined to get something really fluky, whether it's on the opening weekend of the playoffs or something. We'll get into that next week, but I'm not sure what it is, but there's going to be something bizarre.
From an entertainment standpoint, I do like the idea of a Saturday night game between Dallas and Tampa.
That if Dallas wins that game, that would be like, I mean, Tom Brady losing to that Dallas team.
I know. Yeah, it's just not going to happen, but yeah. Before we go, any strong opinions on Super Bowl favorites moving forward? Like, is there any team that – what do we think about Buffalo? I'm looking at it right now. They're like 9-1, 13-1 at FanDuel, but more or less 9-1 across the board. You guys like that at all?
I think that with Buffalo, there's just such a – I still think there's a – like, they have a knack for bottoming out at times. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't – my trust level is low on them. Like,
We were doing the whole thing last night, Monday night, like comparing Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen to Patrick Mahomes. I was like,
no, that's.
Can we see in the playoffs first, please.
I kind of like. Tampa at 11-1 is pretty solid. Even New Orleans at 7-1. I feel like any of the NFC teams, you're getting pretty good value for them.
I think the value is
going to have to go to the Super Bowl, so you're getting pretty good value even with like. The Packers as well.
I actually think the value's gone on the Packers, Bills, and Chiefs at this point.
The Chiefs are there's no value with the Chiefs at all.
I'm looking at it. Let's see. I'm looking at preseason odds right now. Any guesses on what Buffalo was at the start of the year?
Operated
app that lets you deposit what's that?
16-1.
25-1. Yeah. So I guess it hasn't changed that much. Packers were 16-1, so if you missed on them, like the Patriots are 18-1, which is funny.
Tennessee at 28-1, like that.
I was actually just gonna say Tennessee or Pittsburgh. Like I almost think it's swung back on Pittsburgh where there might be a value on them now. Like if you go back 5 weeks, like what was Pittsburgh at? Now I'm seeing him at as much as 22-1.
Yeah.
What's Seattle?
Seattle is
10-1.
My thing with Seattle is as long as they have the quarterback and the coach and that defense is coming along. So they're not a team I want to run into.
What about
Baltimore?
Nah.
14, 12.
That's interesting. Yeah. Baltimore is 14-1, but Pittsburgh is 22-1, but Pittsburgh's the division champion.
I'm looking at it right here. My pick, I mean, across the board here.
Rams?
No, the Rams. I don't think the Rams are done. I mean, they've got, the AAF 2-time offensive player of the week starting at quarterback this week, and they're down 2 running backs.
Goff will be back.
Who do we like in that game, by the way? So that's right, just throwing impromptu picks out there with the Cowboys and Giants, and
I like
the Cardinals win that game. They have much more to play for than the Rams.
Yeah. I like the Rams.
That
pick was never about the quarterback. That defense will step up.
It has been good. Like
sword, die by the sword.
Yeah. There's a lot of defense or a lot of injuries on the offensive side of the ball. Cleveland, 60-1 DraftKings right now.
60.
Like, I could see that, right? Like they could if they got everything going, that's a team Kansas City does not want to face.
Cleveland's like Tennessee of last year, right?
I mean, yes. Yeah.
That's a good comparable.
They probably have a better defense than Tennessee does, though.
Yeah.
you can get after the quarterback better.
That's right. Yeah.
And we've seen how much of a problem that has been for Kansas City. That's the thing about Kansas City. Like, I feel like Mahomes is getting flushed out of the pocket way too frequently. Like, he is – thankfully, he's just not human.
Yeah.
Because that line has been pretty bad.
Not great. Yeah, Tampa 12-1 makes a lot of sense. There is some value lurking there, but I don't know. We'll find out. We'll have a better idea next week. I mean, I'm sitting here ready to put the mortgage on Cleveland. They might not even make the playoffs. So, do you guys have anything else?
No.
Any New Year's resolutions?
We still got a couple days to iron those out. I'm not a big resolutions guy.
Well, did you see that? So that comedian did like the
in-game adjustments.
I love that. There's this comedian did like a Matthew McConaughey impersonation. He's talking about New Year's resolutions. He's like, when West Texas, whatever, is lining up for to kick, they don't call it a field resolution. They call it a field goal. And he's like, so we're making New Year's goals, not resolutions. I was like, I like that. New Year's goals, I guess. I don't have any, but.
New Year's goals. I want to sleep better in 2021.
That's a good more one. Sleep. I'd like to do that too. I don't like my chances though.
Well, you know, your sleep's done for the next 5-6 years, right?
At least.
Congratulations, by the way.
What?
Are you a father yet?
No.
So, I mean, we could look a little different. We don't know, like, right?
What's that?
For the next few weeks, it won't come playoff time.
Yeah, I mean, we can get into it. I don't think anybody's listening at this point. But yeah,
I just want to if people tune in next week and you're not here.
I'll be here next week. I won't be here. Everything's day to day at this point in my life. My wife and I are expecting our first child any day. I expect to be on next week, but after that, you guys are going to be flying solo until the Super Bowl. So,
well, we expect your first week back, you to bring the baby on. Give a little Lion King Simba action for us.
I'm all I will certainly do that, especially if the Packers are playing in the Super Bowl. I will be parading him around in green and gold everywhere you look. So, covering the soft spot with a little piece of a little mini cheese head. So, look for it.
The last thing I'll add is may your troubles last as long as your New Year's resolution.
Well said. Enjoy the games this week. We'll be back next week for wild card round. Look at playoffs next week, guys. Looking forward to it. So, that's Andre and Ricky. I'm Mike. Thanks for joining us on the spread. We'll see you next week.
Happy New Year.